If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, time to talk farming. Glad to be joined by Deputy Editor of the Farmers Journal, Katrina Morrissey. Good morning to you, Katrina.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you today. You know, I was thinking about farmers when I got up this morning and I see it's raining again, Katrina.
Raining again. I mean, there's no end to it. But thankfully, there was a decent window there over the last week to 10 days where an awful lot of field work got done, where fields did dry up enough for cattle to get out on them. So look, at the tillage farmers who got the field work done, Fran, were happy to see some rain, maybe not quite as much as we got last night, because that's important for crop growth now and for fertiliser to go into the ground and whatnot. But, you know, we're 2nd of May, and this is not the weather that we expect. So we would be hoping that we become a nice, you know, rain at kind of, I was talking to someone lately who said, if we could get rain on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights from 10 o'clock onwards, we'd be elected.
That would be the perfect mix. You mentioned fertilisers there, and I'm reading today in the journal, fertilisers, the use of, driving up the risk of some penalties, Katrina.
Yeah, that's right. So there are new fertiliser limits for farmers that they must adhere to. And I suppose there's a lot of farmers who will stick to their traditional spreading of so many bags to the acre without maybe sitting down and doing the required paperwork, because actually the Consultants Association, the Agricultural Consultants Association President Michael Ryan, has warned that farmers are basically sleepwalking themselves into potential penalties. Because if they break the limit on phosphorus, which is one element of fertiliser, if they break the limit there, that is constitutes a baseline breach of the nitrate regulations and could see their entire acres payment wiped out in some measures. So that's a very, very real threat.
And he says up to half of the country's farmers are potentially exposed to this.
Yeah, that's right. So we have, as you know, 47,000 farmers in acres. It was a very popular agri-environmental scheme. And under that scheme, if you breach any of the nitrates regulations, the fertilizer regulations, that is a very serious issue. And that is where the financial penalty will come. And as I say, it's a lack of awareness on farmers' parts, because the detail that's involved in this, Fran, you know, we're down to units of fertilizer per acre. It involves soil testing. It involves nutrient management plans. And while some farmers, for example, dairy farmers who are in derogation, have been required to do nutrient management plans for a number of years now, there is a large majority of farmers who may be doing it for the first time, and they're just not aware of the difference that one bag to the acre might make to their overall farm limit on fertiliser, particularly in the case of phosphorus.
Well, in your renewables roadshow, it's emerged those tax implications of solar panels. That kind of surprised me, Katrina.
Yeah, so solar panels, as you know, from a government point of view for many years now, and from a business point of view, there's substantial revenue tax reliefs available to the farmer who is passing on the land to the next generation, and equally the shop owner who may be passing on the shop premises to the next generation. There's agricultural tax reliefs and business tax reliefs. They effectively discount the value of the asset by 90%. And so you pay tax on 10% of what you're transferring instead of the 100% of it. Extremely important, because that reduces the tax bill on a farm significantly. It reduces the tax bill payable on a business significantly. So the conditions, I suppose, for that is it is an agricultural tax relief. If you have signed up to have some or all of your land under solar panels, that is not constituted as a fully agricultural use of that land. So it's a 50% bar. It was changed a couple of years ago that you could have up to 50% of your land under solar panels and still qualify for the agricultural relief. And again, something that farmers need to be acutely aware of, that they don't go over that bar and therefore incur the full tax if and when it comes to passing on the farm to their son or daughter.
And because they're encouraging the development of solar panels over large tracts of land, do you see that changing in any way?
It did change, as I say, about, I'm going to say 5 years ago. It used to be the case that solar panels really was just classed as commercial use of the land and not agricultural use of the land. So it has changed quite recently. If the government wants to really drive on the solar panel expansion across the country as a way to meet our national climate targets, they may well revise that and say that, for example, you could go to 75, 80, 90% of the land that is still, you know, that's a government decision that would be, I suppose, transcribed then to revenue. So could I see it happening? It really depends on how badly government wants to really, really drive on solar panel farms to that extent.
And of course, there's other implications about driving that on as well, you know, in villages and in areas as well. Some people not happy with it. Climate change already affecting farming. A whole piece today in the Journal about that. Would you talk us through that, Katrina?
It's actually a piece I wrote myself, and I was on a webinar with a very interesting professor from Maynooth, and he's very involved in, I suppose, looking at what's changing and how it's affecting different industries, including farming. And I mean, we talk about climate change sometimes as a bit of an abstract, you know, in 100 years' time, it's going to be very hot and we'll be wearing shorts all year round in Ireland. But in actual fact, it is already affecting Ireland. It's already affecting Irish farming. So what I did was I looked at a series of extreme weather events, which we're told will increase in frequency and intensity as the temperature rises. And I just took County Wexford as an example. They had so many extreme weather events last year, from hailstones in July that shattered the oilseed rape crops and the bean pods. They had flash flooding. They had, deluges of rain that meant that they could not either sow winter corn last year. They couldn't harvest. You know, they had to get a payment from government because they could not harvest their cereal crops. And there is still straw on the ground in parts of Wexford. So looking at all of that, I mean, that is the fallout, I suppose, from more intense and more frequent events. And that is what we're looking at across the country. And I don't want to sound fear-mongering because I think that maybe makes people turn off. But it is a fact that for every 1 degree of temperature increase that we have in Ireland, we will have 7% more rain. And that rain will be more intense. So it will be causing things like those, you know, flash flooding. We'll see the road from Coatbridge to Newcastle closed, you know, more frequently. We'll see flooding around the Prez in Clonmel. You know, where you have intense rains, it has impacts on everybody who lives in the area. We saw it in Middleton earlier on this year. So it also has effects on things like, so, you know, you say it's going to get warmer, it's going to get wetter. And that might sound, well, that's okay, we'll grow lots of grass. You know, it's perfect conditions for growing grass. But actually what we'll get is periods of extreme wet. So we may get, you know, flooding in winter and flash flooding, as I say, in winter, but it may be followed by drought in the summer. So very, very difficult to manage, very difficult for livestock farmers. You know, it has the potential to lead to more frequent fodder issues. You know, if you can't make the silage when you need to make it and grass is growing but you can't access it, like we had this spring, that becomes very difficult. And then also with, I suppose, increased rain and increased temperature, you get increased humidity, so you get crop diseases. And I'm going to, in next week's Farmers Journal, I'm actually going to look at the animal diseases that are already kind of moving into and becoming a bigger issue in Ireland because of climate change, because of that changing temperature.
And are these animal diseases that wouldn't be the norm here, that but might be prevalent in warmer countries? Is that what
Absolutely.
You mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've seen one example of that already in the Schmallenberg virus, which some people may, farmers will definitely have heard of. So it causes deformities in young calves and young lambs, and it causes birth difficulties. They're often born dead. If they're not born dead, they're very, very severely disabled. They have limb problems and joint problems. And that is caused by a bite from a midge that comes from France originally. But temperatures and wind currents have meant that it has come to the southeast of Ireland, and that is where we have had Schmallenberg cases in Ireland in recent years. We never had Schmallenberg before that. So I'd be looking at different diseases like that. I suppose, you know, weather related as well. Lots of animal diseases are weather related in Ireland. So things like liver fluke, which lives in moist damp, you know, kind of soggy ground. If we have more and longer periods where our ground is wet and damp, that will increase liver fluke. That causes animals to fail to thrive. You know, cattle just don't do as well. They have liver problems. So there's a lot of unseen, I suppose, effects there of climate change. So it's really just to spell it out in practical terms, what is happening already and what's likely to happen.
But it's fascinating because there is a lot of denial out there about climate change, and even in fact the finger being pointed at some members of the farming community where that denial is concerned, Katrina.
Absolutely. There's, I think in every cohort of society there are people that don't believe in climate change. I think thankfully we're at a position that the general public and the general farming public are completely aware that we are in a changing time, that this climate change is real. But I suppose my idea with this piece and next week's piece is to bring it to real concrete terms, you know, that they recognise that this is, they're not just saying, oh, there's a lot of liver fluke lately. That is actually, this is why it's happening, you know, because of climate change, because we have more wet weather, more warm weather. Just to, I suppose, not to talk about it in the abstract.
It's most interesting and a really interesting piece in the journal this week. Katrina, thanks very much indeed. Thank you and good morning to you. That's Katrina Morrissey there, Deputy Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. And the journal is on your shelves as we speak. News and information is coming up.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.